ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततोचयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 टेक्स्ट 5 सॉरी चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 14। ये त्वनेवं विदोसन्त स्तब्धा सदभिमानिना पश्यन् द्रुह्यन्ति विश्रब्धा प्रेत्य खादन्ति ते च तान्। ये त्वनेवं विदोसन्त स्तब्धा सदभिमानिना पश्यन् द्रुह्यन्ति विश्रब्धा प्रत्य खादन्ति ते च तान्। ये त्वनेवं विदोसन्त स्तब्धा सदभिमानिना पश्यन् द्रुह्यन्ति विश्रब्धा प्रत्य खादन्ति ते च तान्। वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग ये दोज हु टू बट अनेवं विदा नॉट नोइंग दिस फैक्ट्स असंता वेरी इम्पायस स्तब्धा प्रिजम्चुअस सत अभिमानिना considering themselves saintly, pashun animals, Druyanti Deham Vishrabdha, being innocently trusted. Pretya, after leaving this present body. Khadanti, they eat. Te, those animals. Cha, and. Tan, them. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation: those sinful persons who are ignorant of actual religious principles, yet consider themselves to be completely pious, without compunction, commit violence against innocent animals who are fully trusting in them. In their next lives, such sinful persons will be eaten by the same creatures they have killed in this world. Purport. In this verse, we can clearly see the great discrepancies in those persons who do not surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His law. As stated in the Bhagavatam, Harava Abhaktasya Kuto Mahatguna. Those who do not accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord gradually become infected with the most sinful propensities that bring in their turn terrible suffering upon the non-devotees. In the Western countries such as America, many people proudly proclaim themselves to be most pious religionists and sometimes even prophets or representatives of God. Boasting of their religiosity, such foolish people experience no fear or doubt in cruelly slaughtering innumerable animals in slaughterhouses or on hunting trips for their whimsical sense gratification. In the state of Mississippi, there are sometimes pig killing festivals in which entire families enjoy watching a pig cruelly butchered before their eyes. Similarly, a former president of the United States from Texas did not consider any social occasion complete without the slaughtering of a cow. Such persons mistakenly consider themselves to be perfectly observing the laws of God, and due to such arrogant foolishness, lose all touch with reality. When a man is raising an animal for slaughter, he feeds the animal nicely and encourages it to grow fat. Thus the animal gradually accepts its would-be killer as its protector and master. When the master finally approaches the helpless animal with a sharp knife or gun, the animal thinks, "Oh, my master is joking with me." Only at the last minute does the animal understand that the so-called master is death personified. It is clearly stated in the Vedic literature that cruel masters who kill innocent animals will undoubtedly be killed in the next life by a similar process. Mamcha bhakshayita matra yasya mamsam ihad meham etan mamsasya mamsatvam pravadanti manishina. That creature whose flesh I am eating here and now will consume me in the next life. Thus meat is called mamsa, as described by learned authorities. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this grisly fate of animal killers is described by Narad Muni to King Prachinibhari, who was excessively killing animals in so-called sacrifices. Bho bho prajapate rajan pashvan pashya toyadhare saudnyapitam jiva sanghan nigranena sahastrasha ete tvam sampratikshante smaranto vaishvashan vaishvasham tava samparetan ayakutais chinnanti uttita manvaya manyava. O killer of the citizens, my dear king, please see in the sky those animals which you have sacrificed without compassion and without mercy in the sacrificial arena. All those animals are awaiting your death so that they can avenge the injuries you have inflicted upon them. After you die, they will angrily pierce your body with iron horns. Bhagavatam 4.25.7 and 8. Such punishment of animal killers may take place under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj on the planet of the Lord of Death. In other words, one who kills an animal or who eats meat undoubtedly acquires a death to the living entity who has contributed his body for the satisfaction of the meat eater. The meat eater must pay his debt by contributing his body to be consumed in the next life. Such payment of one's debt by offering one's own body to be eaten is confirmed in the Vedic literature. Om Agyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gavratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bhandho Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhescha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Kaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome everyone for this Sunday morning Srimad Bhagavatam class, and especially His Grace Udayananda Prabhu. So in this verse, one of the nine Yogendras, Chamas Muni, is explaining the fate of people who are accustomed to eat meat. And there are enough verses or shlokas or justifications to do all those things in the name of religion. And if one is not careful, one will get carried away by such injunctions. Therefore, it is very much necessary to understand the various instructions, the intricacies of the scriptures, from a person who knows the meaning behind them, who knows the purpose of such activities. And even in spirituality, there are so many rituals, external rituals, rules and regulations. And the purpose of all these rules and regulations, chanting of the mantras, is to go more deeper in our own consciousness, in our own heart, and try to understand the purpose why we are doing what we are doing. If one is not careful to understand this deeply, even the spiritual activities will remain as just a mere pious activity. Because I feel good, therefore I come to temple, I follow, I chant, I do all the rituals, offer various things, services to the Lord. Because I feel good, or because I may get something in return, material benefits. So these are, that type of consciousness is more or less kind of fruitive mentality. That I should get something in return by doing some kind of tapasya or some kind of charity or some puja, worship. Srimad Bhagavatam goes much more deeper and gives the very essence, the real purpose. It just does not beat around the bush. It gives everything very clearly. And it even does not go much deeper into the social or economical or political aspects of the various rituals or activities recommended. Although there are various aspects, if these things are not followed, if people do not follow what is given in the scriptures, then there are impacts on social body at large. There are economical aspects, there are social aspects, political aspects. And in the earlier ages, general people were naturally following. They were at least had some fear of not following scriptures. And as we can see this, that this verses which are appearing in Srimad Bhagavatam are not just written 5000 years before. They may be written, scripted 5000 years before, but the knowledge which has been coming through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam is many, many millions of years before. And even at that time, there was awareness of such activities. There were people who were killing animals in the name of sacrifice and justifying. And sometimes some people were so degraded that that was the only means of livelihood. And of course we can see that Srila Narada Muni, who is a very compassionate soul, who wanders throughout the universe, he shows his compassion by instructing such people. And we can see that there are many examples, and one is here it is explained about King Prachinibhari, who was doing sacrifices and killing animals. And he did not realize what is the reaction awaiting for him. So at that time, Srila Narada Muni, he revealed to him that you are killing these animals and what is going to happen to you in your next birth or after death. All these animals which are getting killed, their bodies might have died, but they are eagerly waiting for you. Because when you die, they are ready there to kill you with their horns. And that will be very dangerous. Even in the next life, he will get similar kind of reaction. So Srila Narada Muni was there to help King Prachinibhari. He helped Valmiki Muni when he was earlier killing animals. That time also Srila Narada Muni came and asked that you are killing these animals for your family. You go and ask if your family members are ready to take some portion of the reaction. So he went and asked that I am maintaining you, I am killing, and you are surviving because of my those sinful activities. Would you like to partake of some of these sinful activities? So they were very disturbed. They were said, no, we cannot. That is your quota of suffering. We cannot partake of that. So he was shaken up. He understood that I am going to suffer. So at that time, Srila Narada Muni, he gave him the mantra to chant. Ram, Ram, Ram. But he was not able to even chant that mantra. So he told, okay, you chant the opposite. You chant Mara, Mara. Because you are more acquainted with killing of animals. Right? So you can chant this mantra. And in that way he tricked Valmiki Muni. Earlier, I think his name was Ratnakar or something. And in that way, he started chanting. And the name of the Lord is so powerful because it is like the sun which dissipates the darkness. One commits sinful activities because of the ignorance. One is not aware of what is the reaction. But when one develops knowledge, the higher knowledge, then his agyan or ignorance is removed. When he performs activities in knowledge, then he is working on a higher level of consciousness. And that time, the results of such activities are different. Therefore, even the activities in Krishna consciousness may become ritualistic if you are not careful about the purpose behind it or the consciousness in which we should perform those activities. So, of course, Valmiki Muni was delivered by Srila Narad Muni. And there is one more example. Anybody knows whom Narad Muni delivered? Mrugari. Mrugari. What is the meaning of Mrugari? Enemy of animals. Mruga. Mruga means animal. And Ari means enemy. One who is the enemy of animals. Simple. So his name was also Mrugari. He was famous. And he was also killing animals. But the way he was killing was different. He was killing them half dead. And it is explained, this story comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Srila Sanatan Goswami. He is giving him the teachings for almost 40 days on the science of pure devotional service. Very, very elevated topics. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatan Goswami. And when he was explaining the Atmaram verse, Atmaramascha Muniyo, Nirgantyapya Urukrame. He was explaining that verse, and in that verse, when the word Nirgrantha came, the meaning of Nirgrantha means one who is free from material desires or activities, bondage. And another meaning is sinful hunter. One was a sinful hunter. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his story to Sanatan Goswami. And he explained that in the forest of Prayag, Prayag is a very holy place where all three holy rivers meet. There is a Kumbh Mela where people come, take bath, get free from their sins. So in that nearby forest, there was one hunter who was killing animals. And he would kill them half and leave them like that, struggling. So at that time, Srila Narad Muni, he came there. He saw one bird was pierced by arrow, half dead, struggling. Then he saw a boar. Then he saw another deer. Like that, he saw so many animals, half dead, and they were struggling, gasping for life. And he was thinking, who is doing this? Because it is so sinful. And Srila Narad Muni is so compassionate in his heart. He was thinking that who is doing is awaiting a big sinful reaction in his next life. So he saw one person who was very ferocious, with his arrow and bow in his hand and ready to attack. So at that time, of course, Srila Narad Muni is a very divine, saintly personality. Seeing that, he was little bit conscious. He became little conscious. He understood that he is a saintly person. So Srila Narad Muni asked him, who is doing this? He said, I am doing this. I am killing these animals. So Srila Narad Muni, he gave him one instruction. You are killing them half. Why don't you kill them full? Fully kill them. So when he heard this kind of instruction, he was taken aback. How somebody can tell me to kill full? So then he asked, why, what is this? Why you are telling me? Then Srila Narad Muni told that when you are killing half, they are suffering. Their suffering is more. And you will get more reaction. So then he became little humble. Then he told that you will be also similarly suffering, you will get killed by these animals. And when he became more humble, he surrendered to Srila Narad Muni. Srila Narad Muni told him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So he told that you first of all give up your bow and arrow. That is a means of your livelihood. You have to give up that, because that is causing you the great entanglement in this material world. You have to give up that first. Then he asked him, then how will I survive? How will I get my livelihood? He said that you don't have to worry. I will supply you. Whatever food grains you need, I will make sure that you get everything. So he broke the bow and arrow and became a saintly person. He started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And every day people would come and give some food, grains, more than what he required. And in this way, he was continuously chanting. And he was getting purified. So after some time, after a few days, Srila Narad Muni, he was traveling there along with his associate, Parvat Muni. He told that sometime before I instructed one hunter here. Now let us go and see what this hunter is doing. So earlier the method was different. The spiritual master would give instruction and would go away. And disciple has had to sincerely follow that. And that was the faith disciple had. He did not have to follow up. Spiritual master did not have to follow up whether he is chanting rounds every day, following all the regulative principles, be behind. Hey, it is good for you. You should follow this. Earlier, just instruction is given, they would go away. and disciples would follow that, and they would get purified and feel ecstasy. That this is such a benediction. It is not a burden that my spiritual master has told me to chant around, and so many hours I have to just. It was not an anxiety. It was an ecstasy. So, Murugari, he was chanting, and because the holy name is so powerful, he was going more deeper in his own consciousness. First of all, he got freed of all the gross anarthas. Then he got rid of all the subtle anarthas. And he developed a very pure vision to see everyone on equal level. So that kind of transformation he had, the holy name had that, has that power to change the heart of a person. Even he may be so much sinful. It is not that one cannot be saved if one takes sincerely, taking shelter of the holy name, association of devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, those instructions, those words, those mantras have power to change the heart of a person. Because it is explained that Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karya Uday. That love of Godhead is torment in everyone's heart. It is not awakened. But how it can be awakened? Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karya Uday. By hearing. If one is attentively hearing the holy name, then all the anarthas will be removed. And one can feel that kind of higher ecstasy. So therefore, our acharyas have gone more deeper into the holy name, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur especially, in his Harinam Chintamani. He explains the importance of chanting of the holy name, the different stages of chanting the holy name. Even he has explained the various anarthas which are there in our hearts. And by hearing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, especially his childhood pastimes, killing of different demons, Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes. When somebody hears those pastimes attentively and applies them in their lives, then all those various types of anarthas which are obscuring our real vision, our own pure consciousness, can be clear. And one can understand that this is so wonderful, the process is so wonderful. It is not difficult. Our mind makes things difficult. Anarthas are very small sometimes, but they cover the consciousness of a person and one cannot see things clearly. Therefore those anarthas have to be cleared. Then one can see everything very clearly. And when this Murugari, he saw that his spiritual master is coming along with Parvat Muni, he went to welcome him. And as he saw that on the path there are ants. Ants are mostly unnoticed. We don't notice even also what is there on the ground. Something is crawling. We just walk. But this Murugari had become so aware, so conscious of the life, even in those ants, that he saw that there is a super soul in the hearts of those ants. They have their kind of families, their civilizations, their network, their own world, ant network world. And it may get affected. Just imagine, the main member of the ant family is killed by a huge two-legged animal. What is happening? What kind of tragedy in that family? The whole family is waiting. Oh, what happened? He is not coming home. We were well getting going to get food. So many anxiety. Of course, I'm just speculating. But there is a pain at that level also, and sometimes we even don't realize. So this Mrugari was so compassionate. He was thinking that, how can I walk over this? My spiritual master is coming and those ants may get hurt. So he was on the ground with his cloth of what he was wearing and trying to gently push those ants so that they don't die also and they make a path for his spiritual master to come. And Srila Narad Muni told Parvat Muni, just see, this soul has become so much purified. Earlier he was merciless hunter. He was killing animals like anything, half dead. And just see the power of the holy name. Just by chanting, how his heart has become purified. He has become a great saint now. So this is the power. This is the impact of chanting the holy names. And therefore, here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, these verses are coming and which are actually helping us to become more conscious, to become more aware of the life around. And the living beings around us. Because in today's world, things have gone so bad. It is so sad to even talk on such topics. And here also in the purport, how disciples of Srila Prabhupada are explaining that there are festivals, big killing festivals. Isn't it? It is so sad that they enjoy killing animals mercilessly. So, when such animals are killed, we can imagine what kind of fear that animal is going through, what kind of trauma that animal is going through. And it is explained that when one is eating such kind of things, one becomes indifferent to other living beings. One starts losing the sensitivity, mercy. And therefore Srila Prabhupada explains that there are the four regulative principles of freedom. Last week His Grace Brajmohan Prabhu very nicely explained what are the principles behind these four regulations. They are not four restrictions of freedom, but there are regulative principles of freedom. One has to become more sensitive to the other living beings. When one follows those principles, then one becomes really free. usually freedom and restrictions are considered to be opposite to each other. If I am restricted from something, then my freedom is checked. I am restricted from doing something which is not good for my health or my progress. Then one may think that my freedom is checked. I am not allowed to be free. I have a right to be freedom, to have a freedom. But without certain regulation or without freedom, without restriction, one cannot even have that kind of freedom. If one thinks that now I have my own thoughts, I am independent and I am free to do anything. If one thinks like that, then even that freedom will be checked ultimately. And one will get entangled. Somebody may think that now I am freedom, I have got driving license, I can drive anyway. No, there are rules and regulations of driving. Somebody thinks that I got a driving license, so I know driving. If he starts driving differently or breaking the rules and saying that yes, I know the driving, will the rules, RTO rules, will allow that? They will stop, they will fine him. Because along with the knowledge, responsibility comes. Along with the whatever expertise one may get, one has to follow certain rules. Then only one will be able to understand what is real freedom. Therefore, the rules of the scriptures are there to understand what is real freedom. There are certain rules and regulations which when somebody follows, then one will be actually becoming free. One will actually become free from all the entanglement. So, therefore, it is very, very important that to go more deeper in what we are doing. And just like in scriptures, there are mantras for almost all the rituals. You do worship, deity worship. There are so many mantras. Achman, you do purify yourself with water. There are mantras to be chanted. And all these mantras are the names of God, which help to remember God, to become more deeper, to offer all the activities for God. So here also, there is a mantra for meat eating. Here in the purport, this mantra has come. If somebody wants to eat meat, still not realizing the importance of what other reactions may come, if somebody is still feeling that, yes, I want to eat, then there is a mantra for that also. And this mantra has been given here. Mamsa bhakshayit pitamutra yasya mamsam ihad myaham etan mamsasya mamsatvam pravadanti manishina. And the meaning is, that creature whose flesh I am eating here and now will consume me in the next life. Thus meat is called mamsa, as described by learned authorities. So it is very clear actually that when somebody is trying to kill animals or justifying killing of animals in the name of so-called religions, because somebody has to do something, they take shelter of religion. In my religion, it is explained like that, to eat like this, like that. Or even they may quote religions from the scriptures and say that yes, they used to eat after the yajnas and all. But what is the mantra behind that? What is the meaning? That one must try to meditate and understand. That I am killing this animal. I am eating him now. But in the future, the same animal will eat me. That means I am going to get the same reaction which I am inflicting upon this poor animal. So that is, if somebody is going more deeper, more trying to understand what is the meaning of this mantra, then one will realize, oh, this is useless. Why should I get entangled? This is not a very good instruction that I am killing this animal and he will kill me in the next life. It is not good. So in that way, the shastras gradually help a person come to the higher understanding. To understand what is higher. Higher than this there is something. So therefore it is very much necessary to understand this. And even in today's world also, those nations or countries where such excessive meat eating is happening, we can imagine the impact which has on the social body at large. It is tremendous. And even in those countries, there are many thoughtful people who are realizing that if we keep on doing such things, our very existence will be in danger. We may think that we are surviving by killing these animals, and we may think that we are becoming healthy and we may get proteins and all, but our very existence is at stake. And there are many books written by Americans who have realized that this is not the right way of living. This is a very dangerous way. And Shirada Gopinath, one of the books which I came across was very, I was just trying to search some books in the gift shop. Book on Total Health by Peter Barwash. It's a very simple pocketbook kind of book. He has written many wonderful books. So I just took this book to read. And it was so wonderful. Peter Barwash was a tennis champion. He says that he took almost 10 years of research, 10 to 12 years of research, in 2 years of writing this book. Lot of research, meeting people, subscribing to so many journals, meeting so many doctors in America and trying to understand, even visiting the slaughterhouse and trying to understand the feelings of those animals. And he told that it was not an easy thing. He himself was a non-vegetarian in the beginning, but some other he met one person accidentally who was a doctor, and he invited him for medical conference, preventive medical conference. And the awareness he got that how this is sinful, how this is impacting the social and economical aspects, he decided at that very moment that I am not going to consume any non-vegetarian items. All various types of varieties are coming in the market. He took that decision. It was like a turning point in his life. And he understood that how, what are the things happening behind. And usually people take to vegetarian for health reasons, that I want to remain healthy, I don't want to suffer. It may appear very nice what is packaged, very nicely packaged and advertised especially. It appears to be very nice and people market it in such a way that it is very healthy and one becomes more happy by eating such kind of food. But that is, these are the marketing techniques. They don't realize what kind of impact they are creating on society. And in fact, it is not healthy food at all. Because the moment the animal is killed, its flesh starts decaying. It is like a vegetable, you can see that how if you cut the vegetable, it starts losing its all color and just start degrading. So similarly, meat, when it is animal is killed, it starts decaying. And to prevent that, there are so many preservatives, nitrates and so many things they put. And these kind of things, in fact, it may increase the shelf life of that piece of meat. But it is carcinogenic. People, those who eat, they develop cancer because of that, because of such chemicals. And one person who was very thoughtful, he said that even I will not offer this kind of meat to my cat. My cat may not also eat such kind of meat. So that kind of things are given, marketed. And in America especially, when Peter Barwashi visited a slaughterhouse to see the cruelty, to see the reality, what is happening. And he saw that how these poor animals are on a, like a conveyor belt kind of things, they are pushed. And so mercilessly they are killed. And within moments everything is chopped off and all their parts of the body are taken to different things, and in the name of medicines also pharmaceutical such animal products are used. Why? Because we want to be happy. We want to remain healthy by killing these animals. This is completely wrong. And he explains that these kind of places, slaughterhouses, are almost like hell. It is hellish situation for those animals. Because for that animals, they are not going to see the light of the day after that. They are going to die and they are going through such kind of trauma, they are screeching and their blood is spread everywhere. It is next to hell. And this is happening behind the walls. Nobody is showing this kind of reality to people. And it is explained that those who visit such places to see the reality, a very hard-hearted person will think that I will eat meat. They become so disgusted with such kind of activities, they become determined not to eat such kind of things, which is not shown, which is not told to people. So this is what is happening. I met one person from America, and he told that some people have come up with kind of documentary or movie kind of thing on meat eating. What are the realities? What is happening to those poor animals? And most of the time those poor animals are so sick, so diseased. They are not healthy, they are not kept properly. They are just as a consumer product, they are killed and their flesh is used. He told that some people came up with a documentary and telling all the inside stories, that these are the things happening inside, just to make awareness amongst people that not to eat. I asked this person that if this documentary, if it is shown to everyone, then people have to stop eating if they see this kind of reality. Then he told me that no, it will not happen like that. Why? Because people will think that it is not a true documentary. It is a fake documentary. There are realities not told. And they will keep on justifying their sinful activities, sense gratification. So it is so sad to hear this, that people are not even opening their eyes to see what is happening. And there are so many things that politically also a lot of things are involved, economy is involved, and people are not ready to change their practices of killing animals. And in America itself, it is explained that there are every day almost 20 million animals are killed every day. Can you imagine the impact which has on society? And we think that it is just normal. It is all modern lifestyle. It is all allowed. We can just imagine these animals also play an important role in the ecology of the system. Our existence depends on all other animals, trees, rivers, mountains. That is the consciousness one has to develop. But just for the taste buds, people think that yes, this is good, and we may get proteins. This is another kind of justification. Or moderation is all right. Sometimes people say that yeah, we are moderated, we are not eating too much. It is, we are doing everything in moderation. But we don't realize what kind of emotional torture or impact on the animals for getting that piece of meat. And even from the protein perspective, It is explained that if one has to, one wants to justify eating, then it is almost like 6 to 7 times of vegetable proteins have to be fed to the animal to get that kind of protein from the animal. So 6 to 7 times less. But if people are taken to, they are given the alternative methods of living, vegetarian, simple living, high thinking, then it is explained that there will not be any kind of poverty in this material world or hunger. The myth of hunger which is floating around, that people are hungry. And why this is happening? Because there are certain sections of people, those who are justifying such kind of things. So therefore it is so important to go much deeper into the instructions of scriptures, to understand our connection with God, our connection with the nature, our connection with our own self. Because when we are not connecting with our own self, when we are disconnected, then we may justify and we may want to intrude in nature and thinking that this will make us happy. And therefore, it is very important to get connected first. Our dear Braj Vihari Prabhu, Brahmachari, God brother, he has written a very wonderful book. The name of the book itself is a question mark. Are you connected? A very nice book he has written. He came personally and gave one copy with a very wonderful note. And of course I am reading that book. And he is going so wonderfully, deeply writing. And he is trying to connect people to their own selves. Trying to understand who you are first. We don't know who we are. We are so disconnected with our own self. That what is the real happiness? What is our real identity? So as long as we are disconnected, how can we solve the problems of the material world? Therefore, it is so important that we need to get connected to ourself first. And that is the whole program of Krishna Consciousness Movement. Srila Prabhupada went to Western world and he gave them these 4 regulative principles of freedom, because he saw that these are the first 4 weapons of Kali. Kali is attacking everyone through these 4 weapons: meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex. Some other Kali wants to trap a living entity. And Srila Prabhupada first broke those weapons. He just told that no meat eating. And he gave them alternative method of eating. And everyone enjoys that. Krishna Prasadam. Because if we don't eat, we have to eat something. We cannot say that, stop this. How can we stop? We are not like Mayavadis. No, don't do this. We have to do activities. We have to eat something. So those taste buds can change if somebody takes Krishna Prasadam. Somebody takes Krishna Prasadam offering to Lord Krishna in the mood of devotion, then one will develop a higher taste. One will not feel like eating those kind of stuff again. One will develop a higher taste. And therefore we can see that devotees, even they enjoy simple khichdi prasadam, because it is made in temple. It is offered to Lord Krishna. Where is khichdi? When will get that khichdi and halwa? Prabhupada brought this kind of revolution, prasadam revolution. He knew that if people's hearts have to change, then I have to reach to their stomachs first. Isn't it? If their stomach is full, then they are in a mood to hear a little bit. His Holiness Hanumat Preshak Swami Maharaj, he does preaching to the scientist world. He told that there is a strategy, a very wonderful strategy he told. He told that if you have to grab the attention of a person, you just cannot give too much philosophy. You may give too much philosophy, explain so many things, but most of the things are flying above our head. We don't know what he's speaking, why he's speaking for so long. Especially when they preach to the scientists, they want to explain the deeper levels of consciousness and trying to connect them little by little. So he told that there is a strategy. And what is that strategy? He told that we invite such scientists first and give them nice prasadam first. That is the strategy. Simple. Feed them with nice prasadam. Then we talk philosophy. And how it works? Because after eating, for almost half an hour, 1 hour, that person in a little submissive mood to hear. Very good strategy. That you feed prasadam, so he is in a little bit conscious level. He becomes conscious, Krishna conscious little bit by eating. Prasadam has power. He is conscious, there is something. What he is saying makes some meaning. It is helping me to get connected somewhere. So they have that kind of strategy. And then they teach, then they talk like that. So that is what Prabhupada did actually. Prabhupada gave the prasadam strategy. He gave them prasadam. Anybody wants to go, there is jar of gulab jamun kept. Of course we don't have, we have at least laddu prasadam. At least little something. And Prabhupada wanted all the temples to give lot of prasadam. Feed everyone. Anybody who comes to temple should get puri, halwa, sabji. Feed them nicely. But after feeding, they will start chanting. And all the bad habits will go away. So that is a method. And if somebody follows the method given by Srila Prabhupada, then definitely the process will work. Because what process Srila Prabhupada has given is very, very powerful. It has worked for many. It is working for all of us. And it will work for all the people in the future. So therefore, it is a simple process of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra and taking prasadam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments?
Thank you, Rohit. Hello, everyone. Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your wonderful class. Prabhuji, actually you have mentioned anartha. So what anartha means? What does anartha really means? Means anartha means different type of anartha. Means what does that really mean? Refers to.
Anartha means kind of unwanted things within our heart. Artha means something wanted, meaningful. Anartha means unwanted things which are there in our heart. We don't realize also sometimes. They have to be removed. I mean, there is, you can say, violence, cruelty, envy, lust, anger, greed. Various types of things are there in our heart, which we don't know us. We think that it is all proper, everything is normal. But these are subtle things which are hidden within. So they have to be carefully removed. We need to be very careful in removing these anarthas. And especially when we hear the pastimes of the Lord, then those anarthas will get removed. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given a big list of all the anarthas. And by these various demons killed by Lord Krishna, each demon represents one kind of anartha within our heart. And when we hear those pastimes, then those anarthas will gradually will go away. Like cruelty, violence, intolerance. This kind of anartha is represented by the demon named Aghasur. Aghasur, he came like a big python and just lying there trying to swallow Lord Krishna, his friends. He was sleeping there. He was just making a show that he is just like a kind of cave, there kind of big cave. And Krishna's friends started entering inside, thinking that it's a cave and nothing will happen. When they entered inside more, then they realized, oh, they have got caught up somewhere. They started calling Krishna. Krishna came and Krishna also entered inside. And Agasura thought that now I can kill Krishna. But of course, nobody can kill Krishna. In fact, Agasura was killed by Krishna. Like that, so many arthas: Agasura, Bakasura, Putana, Shakatasura, Vatsasura, Arishtasura. So many Keshi demon. Deliverance of Yamala Arjuna trees, Kaliya Mardan Lila, Brahma Vimohan Lila. So many pastimes Lord Krishna did, which represent one anartha within our heart. And when we hear, especially in this month of Kartik, which is a very, very powerful month to get rid of all our anarthas, when we offer the lamps to the Lord. The Supreme Lord is very powerful, who can, when he sees that we have that desire to get rid of anarthas, then he will slowly, slowly remove those unwanted things. We need to sincerely pray to the Lord that yes, these kind of anarthas are blocking they are not allowing me to perform pure devotional service. When we have that sincere desire, when we chant, when we do service, offer the lamps, sing this Damodarashtakam, then those anarthas will gradually get removed. But all the pride which may come from acquiring knowledge, so much greed for acquiring things, we don't need too many things. Usually, why so much of things are going on, I need this, I need that, accumulating more. Because people, I mean, generally there is kind of fear. If I don't have them, how will I survive? I need to have something, and because of that, little by little, one starts acquiring so many things which are not needed. So unwanted things we just keep accumulating from here, there and storing. That tendency has to be removed from the root. Atyahara prayasis. So begins with eating simple food. Not too much of endeavor for material achievements. Doesn't mean that the devotee becomes lazy. Devotee works very hard, but for serving Krishna, not for his personal sense gratification. His endeavor is for the divine cause. So similarly, these anarthas which have to be carefully removed, then one will feel the real higher taste. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare.
Last year, on the occasion of Gita Jayanti, I was discussing with my family members in Delhi that meat eating. So my younger brother, who is supposed to be meat eater, after hearing patiently, he said that I am convinced that if we are vegetarian, it is good. But he asked me one question, that if we don't do that, like you mentioned, Prabhuji, that in America itself, every day 20 million animals are killed. He was mentioning, if this killing is not done, then what will happen? These animals, they will be all over the world. They will start eating us. So I didn't have answer for that question. So just please elaborate on that, Prabhuji.
Nothing will happen. In fact, somebody said that even if you remove one species other than human beings from this entire planet globe, there'll be a lot of disturbance. One species, species are in danger now. If you remove one species, even small insects, they play some important role. If you remove one species from the earth, there'll be a lot of disturbance ecologically. But if you remove human species, everything will become normal. That is the problem. There will not be any problem. Problem is created by human beings. We may think that there will be problem, but everything will become normal. There is no need of kind of cultivating animals just for eating. That is wrong. Animals will eat animals, they will do their business. We don't have to worry. What we are, that we should be. Our body is designed to be herbivores. We should be vegetarian. If we follow what is given by my nature, we'll remain healthy. And even if few animals kill some few human beings, what is wrong? They are hungry, they are food. Just like we think that they are our food. Just imagine, lions would have been the most powerful species on earth. Or at tigers or lions or elephants. What would be the condition of human beings? Isn't it? They would be attacking at any time. We would be in trauma, we'll be scaring, we'll be running away in fear. Oh, lion is coming. Similarly, they think in that way. Oh, two-legged animals are coming, run away. So that is a problem. We are creating too much of disturbance in the society. We just stop all this pollution and all, everything will become normal. Don't have to worry. Nature will adjust according properly. In fact, I was just going through one documentary by one person, TEDx Talks. So he was kind of biologist turned into scientist. And in Africa he saw that a lot of land is not kept properly, and he saw that this kind of things, I mean, there were a lot of elephants and they are always moving on the land and the grass will not grow and things will not happen properly. So he made kind of research, and in that research he proved that if we kill elephants, we need to kill elephants to minimize the damage caused to the earth, because they are always constantly moving and trampling on the earth. So if we do that, then things will become normal. So he made that kind of paper, and government people came and they wanted to understand whether it is proper or not. They went through that, they studied, and they allowed. They said, okay, we allow. And within a span of few years, they kill almost 40,000 elephants. And they were thinking, scientists were thinking, that it will become normal. But in fact, it became opposite. The land became more, desertification happened more. A lot of problems happened because of killing those animals. So then he decided, he took a complete turn in his life. He decided that I have to go more deeper and try to understand the real problem. Then he realized that when there is a livestock, there are cattle moving on the land, that land becomes more fertile. There is a connection between the earth, the animals, our survival. So therefore, when we break that cycle anywhere in between, we are going to suffer. So therefore, that has, he realized that, and then he started his different research. And there were so many places that were deserted. He went there, brought the cattle, and then all that land became more fertile. People could live there. So therefore, it is very, very important to understand that it is not just a problem of human survival or just a problem of our health, but it is a global issue. Somebody said that if somebody attacks a family, two brothers are fighting in between. Okay. Somebody attacks, third party attacks, then what they do? They have to come together. because third party is attacking. Two communities, one community they may fight, but some outside community attacks them, then they have to come together. Two states may fight for some reason, but when another country is attacking, they have to dissolve that and fight for the nation. Similarly, when there is a global attack, where we will go? Where there is an attack from other planet or something which is affecting everyone globally, then where we will go? So therefore we have to go more deeper to understand that when we connect with our own self, with nature, with God, then we will create a favorable situation for everyone. Otherwise, from one side, there is so much of deforestation and rainforests are getting killed or removed. The other part of the world is going to suffer. It is not that it is happening in their country. The other part of the world, it's not that there is a fight between only two countries. One nation is threatening other nation to with the nuclear arms. If that happens, then all other countries are also going to suffer. So therefore, we need to go more deeper to understand this. And every individual has that choice. The individual has to go more deeper and simplify one's life. The more one becomes Krishna conscious, one helps not only to oneself, but to a lot of people around. So nothing will happen. Everything will become normal, actually.
Thank you.
I think it is getting late. Krantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Jai. Shri Gopal ki Jai.